How are you, Brent?
I'm doing good. Hey, remind me if I ever buy a car dealership to call you for some advertising. That was classic.
I don't even know what I'm talking about most of the time. But if you met Kevin Wilson, you'd understand.
I've never heard anybody try to sell a car like that. But
The deals are here to be made. It's the end of the year, and I mean, this is honestly the best time to take advantage. It's like you've got a gun, and they can't say no. It's pretty awesome. SportsMemo.com, 1-800-575-3069. That's how you reach Brent if you want more information. And we were talking off the top of the show what an exciting time this is. And even if you're a marginal NFL fan, there are so many exciting, you know, scenarios that are going to play out this weekend. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I keep using this as an example, but I've got a friend who's a Jets fan, and they need a win and three other teams to win for them to get in. It's just crazy when you look at all the different scenarios of what has to fall for certain teams to get into the postseason. But let's start with the one that's going to be chief among the folks around here, which is that Dallas game. And, you know, they've just been so confounding all season long. Now they got a tough matchup on the road with the Giants. But then I looked at it, and the Giants are only a three-point favorite, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Giants, they're kind of like Dallas. I mean, they've had their games where they've been really good, and they've had games that have just been exasperating. I mean, you know, just some really crazy games for both teams all year. And really, this is the playoffs. I mean, you might as well say this is the first round for both of these teams. I mean, because if they don't win, they're obviously not going to go to the playoffs. So this is the same as a playoff game. And I think for Dallas, of course, it all depends on one man, Mr. Romo. I mean, if he plays well, I think they can win. If he doesn't play well, if he's bad, Tony, you know, they'll be sitting home after the week is over with. I would probably take the point in this game rather than lay three with the Giants. I mean, I'm not really a fan of either one of these teams right now. I don't like teams that are this unpredictable to bet on. I mean, try to find teams that you kind of know what's going to happen. And with these two lately, there's been no way to know.
Yeah, it is hard to tell. Although I would say, okay, let's talk about, I mean, I don't know how much confidence matters and how much, you know, sort of being on a roll matters, but you're talking about two distinctly different performances last week in the way the Giants played against the Jets and the way Dallas sort of floundered last week. And of course, you know, when Romo went out, they sort of, I don't want to say they gave up, but they realized it was all coming down to this week anyway, which I can kind of respect the fact that they were thinking, you know, and we talked about this with Indianapolis. Should Indianapolis tank when they've got so much to gain by losing? And with the Cowboys, why do you sell out, you know, last week when you just got to come around and win this game this week? It's all for the marbles anyway.
Yeah, I mean, even if they had won last week, they still had to beat the Giants this week. And after Romo, you know, they were – even the I was watching part of it, and even the special teams guys were backups. I mean, you know, it was – players that were the last 20 men on the roster were who played the majority of the game for Dallas last week, and you know, I understood it completely, and I don't think it really makes any difference going into this week. It may actually have helped. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys that didn't take snaps last week, but one of the Giants were playing you know, all out against their game, so you know, the Cowboys could actually benefit from a little rest last week.
So the AFC West is still to be determined. Oakland and Denver are both playing at home. Oakland's got a much more difficult task in trying to beat San Diego. Denver's hosting Kansas City, which seemingly just needed to get rid of Todd Haley. Now they're starting to play good football again. Both are about a three-point favorite. So who wins the division and who heads to the playoffs?
You know, I'd be real leery of Denver right now. They're a 3.5-point favorite. There's no way I could lay the points. You're talking about some pressure. I mean, they have to win. Kansas City, for whatever reason, does seem to be playing better without Todd Haley. And, you know, sometimes teams, you see it in baseball, you know, when teams make trades at the trade deadline, trade their stars away, and then all of a sudden they go on winning streaks. And with the NFL, it's kind of the same play. It's kind of the same thing, although it doesn't really show up for as long, because usually by the time the team's out of contention, there's only a couple of games left. But then you talk about, you know, every year there are teams that have to win to make the playoffs. And, you know, the thing about it, if they were that good to begin with, they wouldn't have to win. And Denver, I think, is one of those teams. I mean, you know, Tebow had a great run in the fourth quarter there, but the last couple of weeks we've kind of seen the real Tim Tebow that has played for the first three quarters of all the other games, which has not been very good.
Right.
Oakland, I think, gets a break because San Diego is a team. And, you know, Kansas City hasn't been to the playoffs much lately. They haven't had high expectations. And they're not going to be as disappointed as San Diego. I mean, San Diego, they're used to playing for – I mean, they're basically used to being the division champions, and now they're not going to the playoffs. I think they just may mail it in here. I mean, what's the point of San Diego really coming up with a good effort? And they've been a sloppy team anyway all year. They had a lot of turnovers, a lot of penalties and stuff. And yeah, I think the Raiders probably wind up winning this game. Wouldn't surprise me to see the Raiders win and Denver lose here.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, I remember going back to Carson Palmer joining Oakland after they had the quarterback injury early in the season. And who would have thought? I mean, I guess we all thought Carson Palmer might be okay, but I guess I never thought they would be good enough to be in playoff contention at this point in the year.
Yeah.
Especially with McFadden going down.
Yeah, you know, the Raiders are the Raiders. I mean, you know, they've been the Raiders for so long. I mean, we're, you know, you just don't expect to see them in the playoffs without – but really what has happened is it's not because the Raiders are that good. It's just because the division is that bad. I mean, San Diego's fallen completely apart. Kansas City fell apart early. And Denver has been, Denver's not very good. And what's left is the Raiders. I mean, I'm not thinking the Raiders are going to win a game in the playoffs, but, hey, making the playoffs is a start at least for the Raiders.
The Green Bay Packers are a home underdog this week. When's the last time that happened?
Yeah, that's what happens when – you say we're resting all our starters. The game is completely meaningless. Of course, it's basically meaningless for Detroit as well.
Right.
But, I don't think you've ever seen a one-loss team at home as an underdog. But, that's what has happened in the NFL over the last few years. In the last game of the season, you see some of the craziest numbers because it's all about motivation in the NFL. It's like an exhibition game. I mean, basically that's all it is, with not quite as many players to throw in the fourth quarter, but it's, yeah, when you're resting your starters, I mean, this is what happens. That's why Detroit's a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm just going to be sitting at home watching and praying that none of the backups get hurt, too. I mean, that's just those are the games you just hate you have to play.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's talk about a couple of college games if we can. And we were talking about it earlier. I thought it was remarkable. And I can't remember the last time I saw an over-under this high, but the Baylor game tonight, which I think a lot of people will be tuned into just because Griffin's worth, you know, tuning in for regardless of who they're playing. But a 79-point over-under, and maybe that happens a lot. I can't remember the last time I saw one that high, though. That's pretty crazy.
I think there was one time this year, there was another Baylor game where the total was 78, maybe. But you don't see it very often. Actually, there was two Baylor games. One of
maybe the Oklahoma State game?
Yeah, the Oklahoma State game. Actually, it opened at 79 and closed at 82.5.
Jeez.
It went under, 59-24, 73, so that was an under. And then the other one was the Texas Tech game. It opened at 77.5 and went to 81.5, and they only scored 108 in that game, so it went over. But, you know, with Baylor, I mean, their offense is so good, and so they make so many big plays. I mean, they had six different games this year where they averaged over 10 yards per pass attempt, and that includes incompletions and sacks. I mean, that's remarkable for the season. Every time they called a pass play, and whether it resulted in a sack, an interception, a incompletion, or a completion, every pass play that they called averaged 9.85 yards per pass play. I mean, that is remarkable.
That's amazing.
To compare, Washington was pretty good, and they averaged 7.01. So Baylor was almost 3 yards per pass play better. And then you throw in the fact that Washington's pass defense was horrible this year. You know Baylor should score some points, and their defense was horrible. They gave up over 3,000 yards passing and 2,400 yards rushing for the season. And so Baylor gives up a lot of points. I mean, as a matter of fact, every team they played other than Stephen F. Austin, who they shut out 48-0, every other Baylor opponent scored at least 24 points. I mean, that's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And so you certainly can understand why the total is this high, but it's, you know, even with an offense as explosive as Baylor, and Washington's pretty good on offense themselves, I mean, you still have to have a touchdown about every possession for this game to go over the total. I mean, all it takes is two or three punts and a missed field goal and whatever, and it's going under. You don't have a lot of room for error with this if you bet the over here, but who wants to bet unders if you're going to watch this game? Why bet unders? Because then you got to pull for Robert Griffin and these guys not to make plays.
Right. No, I don't want to root for the defense. I want to root for the offense. It's way more fun. You know, I was just looking through the games that are left, and, of course, the SEC doesn't even play its first bowl game until Friday. Mississippi State kicks things off for the SEC against Wake Forest. every single team, and of course you get the championship game with two SEC teams, which, you know, that's just how we do things here. But every single SEC team is favored in its game. Arkansas has the largest line over Kansas State at 7.5. But every single SEC team is favored in its bowl game, and they're as narrow as a point and a half, like Vanderbilt over Cincinnati in the Liberty Bowl. But every team is favored. I thought that was interesting. What's the best value? And we're going to hopefully get you on again next Thursday before we play the Cotton Bowl on Friday, because we need to talk about the Cotton Bowl and also, of course, Arkansas State and the GoDaddy.com Bowl. But what's the best value between now and maybe through Wednesday with the Orange Bowl?
I'd say playing Virginia plus 3 against Auburn. I don't – you know, Auburn played in the national, or obviously won the national championship last year. They've had a lot of coaching defections. Michael Dyer, the running back, has been suspended, and they're playing in the Chick-fil-A Bowl in the Georgia Dome. It's not really, they're probably not even taking a bus. They're probably allowed the players just to drive on over. I mean, it's an absolute game that Auburn is not going to be excited about. Playing an opponent in Virginia, big deal. It's Virginia. What have they done lately? I mean, it's just one of those games, and bowl games are all about motivation.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no reason for Auburn to be motivated. I mean, if Gene Chizik gets a great effort out of this team, give him the Coaches of the Year for the Bowls Award, because there's no reason for them to. On the other hand, you've got a Virginia team that hasn't been to a bowl since 2007, playing an SEC opponent, playing the defending national champions. They're going to have a tremendous effort. And I really like the job Mike London has done at Virginia. And Virginia is certainly capable of beating Auburn. I mean, if both teams play their best effort, I'm not sure Virginia doesn't win anyway. And I mean, we saw them go to Florida State and get a victory. I mean, and then they got beat in their last game by Virginia Tech. They got just absolutely shut out, dominated, and that probably helps us in this game as well. So I don't understand why Auburn's a 3-point favorite here. I'm going to take Virginia. If I lose, I lose. But I think it's the best play of the whole bowl season.
I like it. All right, well, the games we're going to be watching the most closely, the national title game, the Cotton Bowl, the GoDaddy.com Bowl, all coming up next week after Thursday. So we will are you going to be available next week when we get you on again?
I'll be available.
All right, we'll have Brent on next week, next Thursday, if you want to check in with him between now and next Thursday or after that. And, again, he's got basketball and everything else. 1-800-575-3069 or sportsmemo.com. Have a great New Year, Brent. We appreciate you, man.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.